when the great saints and mystics, the great commentators who come to these sort of texts, they come with great reverence. Because you see, this is the sacred text going to mediate to us a reality. It's not just commentary, isn't just words about words. It's mediating, trying, the reality revealed by these words. Words themselves don't represent reality, they reveal it for another time. But so they come to this text with faith. Now, what we have here are two narratives interlaced. The talk about what the theologians call a theandric act. This is an act of God in his human nature. Can you imagine the depth of this? The power of this? And this reality continues to exist in the risen and glorious humanity of Christ. And as we read it, we are in touch with that. This isn't just a story about the past. This is a story about the past as it now exists in the risen humanity of Jesus Christ. So can you see why they fasted and prayed and spent long time, and some of the great preachers spent all night in prayer before they preached, to try to enter into and be touched by these divine realities so that they could mediate something of them to God's people. The reality present to us, you know. St. Leo says, all those things which were done and said in the past are present to us in things which are done now. Meaning the scriptures and the sacraments. And so, we have this text, which is telling us, mediating to us, a divine reality. Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word of God, and his actions. Now we have this, so what do we do? Well, we have to pray and think. The first thing you'll notice is that this story is told in all three synoptics. And in every one of them, it's told this way. That Jesus is going to, is approached by the synagogue leader. He's going there. A woman reaches out and touches him. He stops. And then he goes and heals her. She's already healed. And goes on to the second one. So what do we notice first and foremost? Now, they tell it differently, too. You know, they're not just... It's not like a tape recorder. Everyone just says the same thing, you know. Mark, as usual, he's the shortest gospel. But when he tells a story, he tells it more amply than anybody else. If you look at Mark yourself today, you'll see what I mean. There's lots of details that are left out of Matthew. He streamlines these things. He mediates the point and he concentrates on the point. The point here is faith. And the power of Jesus, the power of Jesus to heal. In Matthew, we're still, while Jesus was speaking. Well, where was he speaking? Oh, you have to look at the line ahead of it and see. Look in there, you remember what we had? We're in chapter 9. He was speaking about people who were questioning him about fasting, about... And in the middle of that, this ruler of the synagogue comes. Mark tells us his name is Jairus. Matthew keeps it streamlined. And my daughter has just died. In Mark, it says, my daughter is very, very sick. Now, the fathers of the church work on these things. Why that, you know? Come, lay your hand on her and she will live. He has confidence. But if you look closely... Jesus is a means to an end. He's got a sick daughter, a dead daughter, and he wants her. Fine. Jesus says, I'll come and heal her. On the way, a woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years, therefore unclean, untouchable, an outcast in the people, Nobody's supposed to touch such a person. As I say, now that some of the Sharia is known to us, you get an idea what that kind of a world is like. And so she says, if I can just touch the tassel of his cloak. Matthew's careful to tell us he has a tassel on his cloak. That means he's a very observant Jew, Jesus. The others, I'll just touch his clothes. You see, but Matthew, the tassel of his cloak. You see what, if we just keep pondering and looking, and so far all we've tried to do is create the scene. You know, what's going on here? And so Jesus turned around and saw her. You remember in Mark, who touched me? And she has to come out in the crowd. That's all. And says, and now we have the same punchline we have in all the stories. Your faith has saved you. Well, as you know, that word that he's using, they all use, save also means heal. It's the same word. Because to save is to preserve somebody healed for all eternity, ultimately. And all our Lord's healings are symbolic anticipations of the resurrection of the body. The ones we do now, the ones that through him, and the ones he did himself. They're all promises of eternal life. You see the power I have over your body? I will have complete transforming power one day. It's a promise. You see, like little by little, we're trying to enter into this act of the God-man. And the story is about faith, about being daring in faith. I don't mean getting cranked up in our emotions. I believe, that won't do any good. That's just emotions. But real faith, yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit, who pushes us out far beyond our comfort zone. So this untouchable woman, unclean, separated from her family, from her husband, maybe in the same house, but nobody can touch her, reaches out and touches him. And it says again in Mark, Matthew leaves us out, she felt in her body she was healed. She was healed. Now Jesus says, your faith has saved you. That's probably a baptismal formula in the early church. You know, all the texts in Paul about faith saving, they're known. We're still trying to find out, get so that this reality, this act of Jesus touches us, you see? We're still working on that. So we pray, why this, why that? Lord, let this text open up for me so that I too am touched by your healing power right now. This isn't, you know, just an interesting fact about the past. Otherwise, why would we read it at a liturgy? Why would we all get up at 7:30 in the morning to hear it? Your faith has saved you. Then Jesus arrived at the official's house and everybody, typical, you know, mourners, he said, go away. She's not dead, but sleeping, and they laugh. And the crowd was put out. He took her by the hand and the little girl arose. Again, Mark has her, you know, little girl arise. Talita kumi. And the news spread out through all the land. Now, the whole story is one of faith. Do we reach out? There are many, many ways now that we can enter into this reality. One is, as in Mark's text, it's, you remember, who touched me? And they say, Jesus, who touched you? The whole crowd is just bumping up against you. I mean, what do you mean, who touched you? Jesus says, in effect, a lot of people bump up against me. But few really touch me. We could apply that to the way we receive Holy Communion, couldn't we? When we come and receive the body and blood of the Son of God, do we bump up against him or do we touch him? Is our faith alive? Now, it's the fathers of the church, especially I'm thinking of some really heavy hitters like Origen and Hilary and so forth, they point out that all the gospel writers structure this story the same way. That may be for another reason. Again, trying to help get into this. a synagogue ruler comes. Jesus is on his way to heal the synagogue ruler's daughter. And this unclean person gets in there and by faith wrests the healing from him. They all say, don't you see? Jesus is on the way to heal the Jews and the Gentiles. Get in there and get touched. They're healed. When Jesus gets to this place, ah, she's dead. Jesus said, look, she is not dead. I have not finished with my people. I am going to raise them up. I haven't finished with my people. It is the faith of the Gentiles. They believed the preaching by the work of the Holy Spirit. They were baptized. They were incorporated into the body of Christ. They are God's people. But God has other people he wants to bring. And they're not dead. They're asleep, but they're not dead. And I will raise them up. Now, I think it could well be, you see, the power of those two incidents, then put in that order, is to teach us something deep again. But you see, we've just begun to scratch the surface of this, to understand this theandric act, this work, this act of God made man. But we have this much anyway. Believe. Reach out. Let the Holy Spirit move your faith. You know, we can crank up a lot of emotional enthusiasm and call it faith. No. But if the Holy Spirit moves you to believe, and really start to believe, you'll be quite timid. I don't want to go that far. My life is too far out there then. I can't pull it back when it gets uncomfortable. Let him push us out there. Push us out there. Believe him. Touch him.